Open your Bibles with me. I'm going to go ahead. Can I just deviate a little bit here this morning? Well, I'm the pastor. I guess I can do it anyway, right? Go over here to the book of Hebrews. Let me just... share, I believe, what the Holy Spirit, as this was stirring in my spirit since early this morning, and I can't get away from this passage of Scripture, and I believe it will connect to some things that I want to share with you today. In Hebrews chapter 12, verse 25. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 25. It says, "See that you do not refuse him who speaks. For if they did not escape who refused him who spoke on earth, much more shall we not escape if we turn away from him who speaks from heaven, whose voice then shook the earth, but now he has promised, saying, yet once more I shake not only the earth, but also heaven." Now the next verse is very eye-opening, because in this particular case, he translates what he said. Look at verse 26 very closely. He said, "Whose voice then shook the earth, but now he has promised, saying, yet once more I shake not only the earth, but also heaven." And then verse 27 translates this. It says, "Now this yet once more indicates the removal of those things that are being shaken as of things that are made, that the things which cannot be shaken may remain." Verse 28 goes on and says, "Therefore," and we understand in this church when we see a therefore, we look to see what it's therefore. "Since we receive," look at this, "since we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken." Now we just read that there is a shakening that God is going to do, not only in the heaven, but in the earth. In other words, there's going to be a shakening in the realm of the spirit, and there's going to be a shakening in the realm of the earth. There's going to be a natural shaking and a spiritual shaking. The spiritual shaking has to do with what goes on in His church. How many know that when the Lord comes back, He will have a glorified, purified church? Amen. Without spot, without blemish, without wrinkle, or any such thing. But right now, there is not the case, or that is not the case. But there will be a shakening so that everything can be shook out that's not supposed to be there. Amen. But at the same time, now look at this. We have received, or we have entered into a kingdom. Now what is the kingdom that we have entered into? We are in the kingdom of God. He says, since we have, look at verse 28 real close, "Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom," we are growing, not only have we entered into it, but we are participating. I knew that word would come out sometime today. We are participating, if you will, and we have received the kingdom which cannot be shaken. "Let us have grace by which we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear." Say, godly fear. Because as I read this and as I stand here before you today, I see that in the day in which we live, there is an ungodly fear that is gripping this place we call earth. It is gripping the United States of America. And there are a lot of believers that they are allowing the spirit of fear to come and to not only just get in them, but to keep them from operating in faith. Now, we learn in here pretty quick that the opposite of fear is faith. The spirit of fear. In fact, now I want you to go over to 1 Timothy or 2 Timothy chapter 1. Just go back, okay, because I sense that there is an apprehension in people's lives right now. And they are fearful of what is taking place. We are seeing things come unravel. We're living in a time where we have seen things happen in the last few weeks that we have not seen in our lifetime, and even in the history of this United States of America. They're calling it an economic meltdown. We're seeing institutions that over 100 years old that were created to be a part of the economy and the economic system that this United States of America serves as an engine to, if you will, propel other nations so that they can come out of third world type situations and enjoy and, if you will, participate in the vast resources that are available to what we call a system that has become a dependency and thrives off of people who can figure out how to make money and even make money on money. Now, as I say this to you, I want you to, because I realize when I say something like this, some of you, I know you, a lot of you probably don't pay a lot of attention to the news. When they talk about Wall Street, some of you probably don't know the difference between Wall Street and Walmart. But Wall Street affects Main Street. Main Street is where the world lives. You and I live in a different economy system. Are you with me? And so I felt like I needed to share a few things because we cannot allow a spirit of this uncertainty. Like, what are we going to do? Are we going to lose our home? Are we going to pay, you know, $50 a pound for hamburger meat? Are we going to, you know, have enough gas to propel us and our children have any kind of future? Well, I'm just going to tell you something. Fear is designed by the devil to keep you from advancing and doing what God has called you to do in this earth. Amen. We do not receive, and the word, now listen to this, because I'm really going to try to show you what faith and how faith responds to these things. You're hearing things like there's going to be a depression. There's going to be a recession. We're in a spiral. We're in an economy crisis. Well, faith does not participate in recession. Amen. Faith does not participate in depression.
Amen.
When they are speaking to you those things, you rise up and let faith begin to speak out of your heart. I do not receive that.
Amen.
I live in a system that is ordained by God. God created it, and it cannot be shaken.
Amen.
But everything that God didn't create will be shaken. So that only those things remain that are of God.
Amen.
Now, God didn't create Wall Street. Somebody asked the question, where does all that money go? We've lost trillions of dollars. You had to get the most educated minds to come together, the President of the United States. You had to get the Secretary of Treasury, the Congress together, both houses, Democrat, Republicans, all these vast mindsets to come up with some kind of a plan that would cause us to continue to enjoy the life or the good life that we have come to know and live in this United States of America. But guess what? The best minds and the best plan, which they implemented this week, It didn't work.
Amen.
In fact, it got worse. It got worse. It lost more this week than it ever has done in the history that it's been in existence. But you see, the plan was not God's.
Amen.
And there's nobody standing up saying, "Thus saith the Lord." Everything that can be shaken will be shaken so that those things that remain, listen to me, can remain in God. Now, where does that money go? Where, if your house was worth $200,000 this time last year, and now you go get it appraised and it's only worth $150,000, where did that $50,000 go? You say, well, it went into the pockets of some fat cats. No, 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 no. It was a figure in the mind of some man. Your stocks, if you have some, were at a certain value this time last year. Well, they're 40% less this time this year. Where did that money go? It was all a created figure in the mind of some man. It was not real money. It was not real. Now, if you would have been smart enough last year to take it out, you would have had some real money in your hand. Are y'all following what I'm saying? Okay. The point is this, is that there is things going on that is trying to grip, induced by Satan, because he is the one that inspires fear. Because he knows that if somebody can get in fear, they cannot operate in faith. But we, the people of God, are people of faith. The just shall live by faith. Are you with me? We know that it is the only thing that we can please God with is faith. So we are not moved by the kingdom that has been shaken. Then we hear Charles, what's his name? Oh, the guy on the news. Gibson. Shows you how much I... Charlie, there you go. And Katie. And we just say, God bless them. For they know not what they saith. Are y'all with me? Don't you let those things get down in your spirit. Don't let those things come and produce fear. Because fear gets you concerned about your future. What am I going to do? And oh, what's going to happen? Oh, I don't know what I'm going to do. Well, let me tell you something. You know who holds the future. And when the future does come, you know you're going to be with the one that holds the future. Can I hear somebody say amen? Now, over in 2 Timothy, faith is what we have to develop and make sure that it's strong in this hour. Our nation, listen, right now is under a spirit of fear. But there is a difference between godly fear and the spirit of fear which is instigated or inspired by the devil.
Amen.
We have a godly reverence because our God is a consuming fire.
Amen.
And yes, I believe that God will judge the sin. And God has judged the sin. Amen? But I believe there's a place where you and I can be. A place where you and I can live far above those things. Just like the children of Israel in the land of Goshen. I was talking to Lonnie, you still here? This morning about, he told me their business has prospered more this year than all the years that they've been in business. And they are in the house. Listen, they are in the housing business. They're in the mortgage business. The two that's been hit the hardest. But you see, we're not of that kingdom.
Amen.
We're not of that system. We are of a kingdom that cannot be shaken. Are you with me? So we have to make sure that we not only stay in faith, but we operate in faith. Now, let's look at this right quick. Oh, man. Verse 5. 2 Timothy. Are y'all here? I want to talk to you just a moment about concerning fear. When I call to remembrance the genuine faith, are you with me? I'm in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5. Underline that word, genuine faith. Some translation might say sincere faith. He said, that is in you, which dwell first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, or the way to pronounce that is Eunice, but we say Eunice. And I'm persuaded is in you also. Therefore, I remind you to stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God has not given us a spirit of fear.
Amen.
The spirit of fear does not come from God. Have you run across anybody in the last few weeks that is in the condition that I've described to you in the first part of this message? That are in distraught, distress, discouraged, don't know what to do, don't know where to turn? Listen, you've got some good news for them. You can stand up and declare, greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. The spirit of fear does not come from God. But what comes from God? The spirit of power, the spirit of love, and the spirit of a sound mind. But I want you to go back here and just look at this, because you see in verse 5 something very important. And I'm glad we had a baby dedication today. Because what you see here is a generation of faith passed down to your children.
Amen.
If you know anything about Timothy, you know that Lois, of course, was his grandmother. That's what it tells you there. And his mother was Eunice. And they were great women of faith. They were Jews. And the father of Timothy, whether he abandoned or what, was a Greek, an unbeliever. But Timothy learned his faith from his mother and his grandmother. It was a generation, if you will, of faith passed down to the children and the children's children. It's important, should the Lord tarry, that you develop and you learn faith so that you can pass it down to your children and your children's children. Are you with me? And we have to see that it becomes important that a lot of us, we didn't have godly parents, some of us. We didn't have godly upbringing. But you see, if we get ourselves in position, how many know God can touch our lives? The Holy Spirit can open us up to receive from Almighty God, and we can become a brand new creation in Christ, where old things have passed away and behold, all things become new. I thank God that some 25 years ago that we decided that we were going to live by faith. We hooked up with what we now consider fathers of our faith. You know, we had choices to make, just like everybody has choices to make. We could have went left, we could have went right. We could have left here and went somewhere else. But God spoke to us and said, leave your job, leave your kindred, and go into the land which I show you. And God led us to this 10-acre spot, and we left our job, put our life saving to purchase this property, and we have not looked back because we have learned to live by faith. We walk by faith and not by sight. And so I'm telling you today, it's important that you hook up and connect, because Paul said you will have many teachers, but you have very few fathers in the faith.
Amen.
And I think back and I look back that I could have got hooked with a lot of different people that were preaching things that would not have been conducive for me to become a man of faith.
Amen.
And I'm not bragging on myself. I'm saying I consider the heritage of faith to be a valuable commodity and a valuable asset to the believer.
Amen.
Never think that you're sitting in here wasting time. Never think that when you're receiving a word from God, that word is not producing in you faith that will stand the test of time. He said in verse 6, therefore, there's another one of those therefore. And I really wanted to preach to you today about stirring up the gift that God has placed on the inside of you. Every one of you in here, and I've been sharing this for the last 4 or 6 weeks, that every one of you in here has a gift from God. That God has called you to be somebody. Maybe you were a nobody, but you are now a somebody in God. And God has given you gifts and talents to serve Him in the body of Christ. Maybe you have a vocation, and maybe you have things that you do with your time during the week, but your number one call is what God has called you to do and be what God has called you to be. And Paul was telling Timothy, he said, I see that genuine faith that was passed down from your grandmother, that was passed down from your mother. I see that same kind of faith on the inside of you. So I'm commanding you, Timothy, stir that gift up that's been placed on you by the laying on of my hand. And that word, stir up, means to fan the flame. To reinvigorate, to reactivate the flame. Some of you have been saved a long time, and you've let discouragement come. You've let the circumstances come. You've let things and you've let people take you out of what God has called you to do. And I'm telling you today, reactivate.
Amen.
Fan the flame.
Yes.
It means something that was just an ember. And you have to take a poker and poke that thing around and get all the oxygen off that log and then take a fat... You know, just get it going again.
Yes. Amen.
And the Holy Ghost is in this place today to blow on your life. He's in this place today to let the willing fan of God's hand blow upon your life so that little ember, that little light can begin to shine once again like God called you in the first place. And God is saying in the next verse, He said, I didn't give you that spirit of fear. It did not come from me. Say, I rebuke fear. Don't be like that little girl. She heard the preacher preaching on. She had the authority to rebuke fear. She is asleep that night in a dark room in her room, and she heard something noise, and she goes, I rebuke you, fear. Hey, you're not full of shyness. You're not full of timidity. You are not a coward. Come on. You have to rise up and you have to be bold. Remember what I said about a lion? A lion don't go, I rebuke you, devil. A lion roars. Come on. A lion says, I rebuke you, devil! In the name of Jesus. Say,
I rebuke you, devil!
Off of my children! Off of my family! Off of my finances! In Jesus' name, you are rebuked. That's the way to do it. That's the way to do it. Paul said, I have not given you the spirit of fear, So if you're operating in fear, it did not come from God. And if it didn't come from God, shake it off. Shake it off. And you listen to those new guys. I know the world's in a turmoil. I know it's in a tailspin. I know it's in a crisis. But I shall not be moved. I shall not be moved. I shall not be moved. I live in a kingdom that I'm participating and receiving from that can be advanced because I choose to walk by faith and not by sight.
Amen.
Now let me give you right quick, because I'm already out of time, three elements. And really the reason I quit, not really for you. It's because of the people in there having to do your children.
Amen.
I have compassion. I have some compassion on you, but you can take a lot. Amen.
Yes.
You know how to fight the devil.
Yes.
You know how to put on the armor of God.
Yes.
But get this part down right quick before we close. He said, I have not given you the spirit of fear, but he's given us three elements. It's the first one is this power. He said, I've given you the spirit of power. Power is what identifies us to who we are. How many know that we have to come? The first foundation of faith is knowing who you are in Christ. If you don't know who you are in Christ, you will be a weak, wimpy Christian. You have to know that it is Jesus in you, the hope of glory, a man on the inside of the man, and his name is Jesus, and Jesus is not a whip. Jesus is not weak. You have to learn to identify. That's what the power is to identify with who you are and use the authority that God Almighty has given and placed upon you to use in this earth to advance the kingdom of God and push back the darkness. You have to learn who you are in Christ. Say this with me. Say, I am the righteous of God in Christ. Say, I can do all things through Christ. Say, I am the head, not the tail. Say, I can bind, loose, unlock, lock. I have the keys to the kingdom. You have to come. You have to come to the place where you know what your ID is. Anybody have an ID?
Yes, sir.
The devil comes to tell you you're no good. The devil comes to bring up your past.
Yes, sir.
The devil comes to tell you, oh, you're not smart enough. The devil comes to tell you you're not talented enough. The devil tells you you don't have any anointing. Listen, pull out your ID card. Pull out your ID card and remind him that you are a new creation in Christ Jesus. Come on. Remind him that that old life has passed away and behold, all things have become new. Remind him that he's defeated. Remind him that he's going into a lake that's bottomless and burning hellfire and damnation forever. And you're going to be there graveside to watch him burn. Say, stop the gift. Stop the gift. Fan the flame. Reactivate my faith. I'm telling you, you're going to need faith in these last days. So there's power. That's identity. Then the next one is love. Now listen to me closely. Love identifies with your relationship. I'm trying to tell you how your faith must work. The Bible teaches us that faith can only work by love. It cannot work. And some of you have let your flame go out because you've got bitter. You've got aught. You've got something or somebody that you haven't forgiven. You've got something. Come on with me. You got something there that's stopping your faith from working. Faith cannot work apart from love. Faith cannot work apart from love. We have to come back to the place like Jesus. We have to have compassion. We have to let what is on the inside of us begin to rise up. When we see a demon, we lay our hands on that demon and we cast it out in the name of Jesus. When we see somebody sick, we lay our hands on the sick and say in the name of Jesus, rise up and be healed. We see a lost person and we say, hey, Jesus is the only way to salvation. It has to be our identification of who we are. And we have to do it in that spirit of love. Now here's the other one. He said, what's the third one? Sound mind. Now listen to this one. And I was going to spend a lot of time on all these, but listen to me. What does a sound mind mean? The sound mind means, what do you do between the time that you find the promise and you confess the promise and say amen? What does amen mean? It means I agree with everything you have said in your word. My prayer is your word. Amen.
Amen.
Until the time that it manifests. Now you didn't hear what I'm saying. A sound mind is that gap between once you have spoken the promise, said amen to it, until the time of the manifestation.
Amen.
Somebody said it this way. There is a gap between the amen and the whoop, there it is. A gap between this is it. This is what the Lord has said. And whoop, there it is.
Amen.
Now what are you going to do, see, while you're standing? Well, you got to, number one, you got to learn to maintain your joy.
Amen.
Because the joy of the Lord... Are you listening to me? I said the joy of the Lord is your strength. You say, but I don't feel like I got joy. You don't go by what you feel. Faith does not go by what it looks like. It goes not by sight, but by what it knows.
Amen.
We walk by faith and not by sight. Are you with me? And we are not moved. These are things I've learned. We are not moved by circumstances.
Amen.
We are not moved by our circumstances. We stay in joy because I found out as long as I have joy, I have strength.
That's right.
As long as I have Hezekiah, the God whose strength. Are you with me?
Amen.
I have joy. Now what are you going to do when the enemy comes to burst your bubble? See, some of you need to learn to do the Bible. Jesus said when they revile you, in Luke's Gospel, chapter 6, verse 23 or so, He said, when they revile you, when they come and say things about you, He said, leap for joy, for great is your reward. Somebody needs to learn to leap with some joy. Learn to leap with joy because He said, great is the reward in heaven for you. We got to keep our eyes on the destiny. We got to keep our eyes on the promise. See, the sound mind part is what do I do by the time that I have found it in the Word of God until, whoop, there it is. I got to keep my joy. I got to make sure the circumstances don't take me out of the race. Are you with me? And I got to make sure that I am not trying to do this thing from my head. Now, here's where people make a mistake. I found out you can't just clap your hands and shout and God moves because you say it.
Amen.
Listen to me. How many found that out? That just because you get excited or say something, that God doesn't necessarily move on what you said.
Amen.
God's going to move on what He said.
Amen.
I said, God is going to move on what He said. So faith has to, here's the third part of that. faith has to believe that when they pray, put up Mark 11, 23 and 24, that when they pray, they believe that they receive it. Did you hear what I just said? Now, how do you know if it's in your head or in your heart? Because he said, whatsoever things you pray, he said, don't you doubt what? In his heart. Now, how do I know if it's in my head or in my heart? See, when you gather yourself around the murmurers and the complainers, and this is the last part I want to talk to you about, it does make a difference who you hang around with in the time of crises. It makes a difference who you hang around with all the time, because people can take you down. You know that it is got, or it has gotten in your heart when you say things like, oh, I don't know what I'm going to do. Do you think God is honestly sitting up in heaven biting his fingernails and worried like most people are worried, saying, what are we going to do, Jesus? What are we going to do, Jesus? What are we going to do, Jesus? No, 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 no. You know that it's in your head when you're speaking it out of your mouth. Hello? Because when faith is down in your heart, you're going to say what God says, contrary to what people say. Contrary to what the circumstances say. Contrary to what the devil says. When they tell you, oh, we're going through a crisis and we're going to suffer a great depression like the United States has never seen, all you stand up and say is, I rebuke you, Satan. I rebuke you, Charles Gibson. I rebuke you, Katie Kirk. I rebuke whoever it is. Say it in the name of Jesus. It might be Obama, it might be McCain, but I tell you what, the word of the Lord will remain. Amen? The word of the Lord will remain. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Don't let people take you down. There is nothing, nothing, nothing worth you giving up your faith for. You say, well, how do I know? See, Jesus didn't say, if you doubt in your head, because you cannot keep the thought coming from your head. You're hearing it every day. You're being fed by the media, by people every day. Are you here? You cannot keep the thought from coming into your head. But you can keep it from getting in your heart. Yeah, come on somebody. You can keep it from getting in your heart. You start letting your mother-in-law and your brother-in-law and your this law and that law, and you start the murmur and the complainers whining and crying and the kissers and the cleavers. Listen, you gotta stand up and say, enough of that stuff. I'm a person, I'm a man, I'm a woman of faith. In my God will I trust. And I'm gonna close with it, but I remember Smith Wigglesworth back in the 30s. Have you ever read any of his, man, what a man of faith. Before he went into full-time ministry, he got a, I think it was in the late 30s, he got a appendicitis attack of appendicitis. And in those days, by the time the doctor got there, the appendicitis had already bursted. And all that stuff had secreted into his body. And the doctor showed up and said, well, there's nothing I can do for you. He said, you're going to die. There ain't nothing we can do for you. And the doctor left, said, I'll come back and check on you later. And Smith got up and told his wife, said, I rebuke those words in the name of Jesus. And he was in excruciating pain. I mean, looked all white, about ready to give it up. And he turned to his wife and said, he was a plumber. He said, by the way, do we have any calls today? She said, oh yeah, you got two or three calls. And he got his tool bag, his toolkit, and went to work. And while he was on his way to work, God healed him of that attack, of that appendicitis. And the doctor came back later that afternoon to check on him and ask the wife, I said, where's Smith? So, oh, he went to work. He said, he went to work. Don't you understand? He'll be a corpse by the end of the day. And later on, when Smith became a full-time preacher, he would stand up and give that testimony. And he'd say, Here's my wife, Ms. Wigglesworth, and here's her corpse. Do you know why? Because they said he had died, but he said, God said, I'll live and not die. He said, I'm the head and not the tail. I'm the healed of the Lord. Are you with me? Come on, stand up on your feet. Stand up. I'm telling you that we have to come back to a place where we are not, listen to me, because some of you are, I'm going to pray right now for the flame to be re-enacted. Re-enacted, yeah. Oh, how many of you could use a little flamethrower right now? Now listen to me. The spirit of fear does not come from God. Now, all of us know this verse. I mean, that's one of the first verses I really got a hold of years and years ago. And a lot of you just quote that verse. But I'm not sure a lot of you know what it meant. See, Paul saw something in young Timothy. He was probably, listen to me, he was probably around 16, 18 years old. Didn't have a father to teach him anything, but he had a godly grandmother. Thank God for godly grandmothers, amen? He had a godly mother. And Paul saw something in that young teenage boy, Timothy. And Paul became a mentor or a father of faith to him and said, I'm remembering the faith that your grandmother had and your mother had. And he said, I see that same genuine, sincere faith in you, Timothy. Therefore, I'm telling you, you stir up that gift that's on the inside of you. God's going to use you mightily. And understand, Timothy, timidity, that's really what that means. He said, God didn't give that spirit to you. Are y'all here?
Amen.
The world, the devil, is trying to put fear on not just the people of the world. That's why they don't know what to do. That's why they're turning to the most, isn't it amazing? The most highly economic, highest institutions of our land, Harvard, Yale, and they, what do we do? What do we do? Well, why don't we humble ourselves before the hand of God?
Amen.
Turn from our wicked ways. Repent.
Yes.
And let God come heal our land.
Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
Yes.
You really honest to God think that either one of the president candidates is going to fix this thing? They don't have an answer. If they had an answer, they'd get elected tomorrow.
Yes.
They're putting off. They don't have the answer. But we have the answer. Now maybe some of you, you know, you've got the power. You say, I know I'm in Christ. I know how to rebuke the devil. I know Christ in me, the hope of glory, Pastor. Okay. How about the love? Are you walking in love? Because love covers a multitude of sin, right? Love has the compassion to love the unlovable. And do you have the sound mind part working? Now this is where a lot of people lack because they've confessed the word, but they haven't seen the manifestation yet. Are you with me? The sound mind says, okay, what do I do between here and there? Am I stable? Is my relationship right with God? Is it right with fellow man? Is the power working? If all that's working, then you just stand back and watch the salvation of God. God's not going to move when you say move. Have you learned that? God's not going to move just because you clap real hard. But you clap hard and you leap for joy.
Yes. Yes.
Because that's what the Word says we do. It's not what we feel like. See, some of you are waiting for the feeling again. It's like the old Methodist man came to a Pentecostal church by accident. I mean, he was depressed. He was 89 years old. Told him he was going to die, and you know, he just, for some reason, he stumbled into a church like this. And the pastor quoted that scripture about leap for joy. And somehow he got a hold of that. And there was an 89-year-old man that got up, and he just started. And all of a sudden, you saw his countenance begin to change. And all of a sudden, it just hit him like, whoop, there it is, whoop, there it is. And his whole countenance began to change, and the joy of the Lord filled him with the strength of God.
Hallelujah.
And he walked out of that place leaping and clapping and praising God. Amen?
Amen?
I don't know how much longer he lived, but I tell you what, he got the joy.
Amen.
He went ahead, come on, he went ahead and leaped for the Lord.
Amen.
Hallelujah.